Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Baldwin Properties, which develops and sells apartments, has reported a sharp slump in profits and sales as tough economic conditions weigh consumers. But the group is seeing encouraging signs, including recent interest rate relief that has prompted many fence sitters to finally commit to property transactions. I had a conversation with Steve Brooks, who is the CEO of Baldwin Properties, and this is the conversation. Let's listen in. Stephen, thank you so much for your time. You released your interim results earlier today. So how would you characterize the period that was, given that, as you mentioned in results presentation, that we still have a residential property sector that's still under significant pressure?
Yes. Hi to Natasha and all the listeners. Yeah, it's been a tough 6 months. I mean, there's no bones about that. You know, the interest rates are way too high. Consumers are under huge pressure, you know, and I'm looking forward to hopefully some interest rate relief. I know we've started with a very, very small 0.25%, but we need much more than that to really help the sector.
Okay, so let's talk about that. How much more do you need in order for you to see some kind of pickup? And is it all dependent on interest rates, or are there other factors here that allow consumers to say, I can positively buy into this market?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, fundamentally, I've always said South Africans should be property owners. You know, it's a great thing to own property. But, you know, I really believe we need another 1% cut. I'm praying and hoping for 0.5% on the 21st of November. But then, you know, we need insurance that there's going to be more. We're in a downward cycle. So, that, you know, these youngsters nowadays, they sign up for these long loans and they end up working for the bank their entire lives. You know, there's got to be some little bit of happiness out there with a bit lower interest rates.
I suppose I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say, what happens if we don't get that interest rate cut, or we stay on hold for the remainder of this year, and perhaps maybe we see some significant shifts into the latter part of next year? What does that do, given the fact that, you know, we're getting closer to the US election? I know a lot of economists are talking about the fact that, you know, depending on who's going to be president, inflation might still elevated in the US, which, you know, makes it a bit of a tricky situation for the Fed going forward. What does that then mean for you if we don't see those cuts?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're South Africans. We are resilient. You know, we should focus a little bit more on South Africa. It's a fantastic country. I'm pretty confident we're going to see cuts. But if we don't, you know, the smaller apartments, the one beds and two beds are more affordable. But, you know, we can't build them any smaller than they are. So I don't like the idea of going to smaller than what we're doing at the moment. But, you know, then also we've also started our rental division. A lot of the youngsters will be forced into rental. And then hopefully as interest rates drop, they can migrate from rental into property ownership.
Okay, so let's talk about the sort of different brands that you have within the Baldwin space. You've got the Green Collection, Classic, and the Signature Collection. What kind of demand are you seeing when you look at the three different distinct collections, so to speak?
Yeah, the Green brand, which is our really affordable brand, that's got the highest demand, followed by the Classic, and the least demand is the Signature, but it's also our least offering. So, you know, the three brands have been developed to cater for all different sectors of the market. But definitely we see the biggest growth in our Green brand going forward.
And on the Signature side, let's unpack that a little bit. What are you seeing on that front in terms of, you know, not seeing as much demand as the Green? What's happening in that space?
In the Signature space, in that price bracket, a lot of people are renting. So we're seeing a shift in the high income that they'd rather rent and know their fixed costs. You know, as I say, if interest rates drop, then that will change and people will be buying more and more in that sector again.
When you look at this market that we just touched on a little bit earlier on, that is still under significant pressure, how then have you rather responded to those headwinds and that reduced consumer demand?
Yeah, we've obviously reduced our construction, so we're not delivering as many apartments. We've kept our staff on, which I think is a very good thing to do in difficult times. And we've worked hard at cost cutting and cost engineering of our product, at the same time working tirelessly and our quality, because that's what will make you survive if you deliver a good quality product.
All right. Let's talk apartments by region. What does the picture look like when we have a look at Gauteng, you know, Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal?
Yeah, look, Western Cape is very, very strong. But, you know, you've got to be a little bit cautious. You know, does this emigration last forever? So we've got to be very careful there. Natal is very tough at the moment. You know, they've got a lot to sort out of the municipality. There's been a lot of corruption in the past, and it looks like we're coming to an end of that now. And a lot of bad service delivery in Natal. So they've assured us they're getting on top of it, and I really hope they are. Gauteng has been tough. You know, our mayor hasn't been the best in this area. We need to, hopefully now we've got a good mayor and he can start getting the infrastructure going. But Gauteng needs a really good, strong mayor at the helm. And let's hope this is the financial capital of the country. And let's hope it has a resurgence.
That's quite interesting there. Let's talk about Cape Town. I mean, you've been in the property business for a number of years. How are you assessing the semigration? I mean, what do you think it is that is driving people into the Cape Town region? Is it the way the cities run, or is it other aspects?
Yeah, the cities run well. You know, there's little or no corruption in the Western Cape, so things get done on time. They spend a lot of money on the infrastructure, and when they do it really, really well. So, you know, people like that, and the safety's good. And obviously, Cape Town is really noted as one of the best cities in the world. So, you know, people now can work remotely. You know, it's not the end of the world if you have a small office in Cape Town and a big office in Joburg. You can still cope with it. So, yes, I just hope enough, you know, that the semigration lasts. But, you know, Joburg is still the powerhouse. I'm still a fond Gautenger, and I still believe in our capital city. So, you know, there's all sorts of rumors of possibly a Formula One coming, and hopefully the new mayor can get things moving. So, look, let's all get out there and make South Africa proud in Joburg.
Speaking of making South Africa proud, I mean, since the May election and the announcement of the GNU, there's been a lot of optimism, a lot of, you know, positive sentiment, movement. And I think we see it as well when we look at, you know, some of the locally, you know, traded companies. And I'm curious for you, I mean, as you see all these ministers on these road shows, etc., are you liking what the ministers are saying right now? Because they seem to have, you know, come out with a certain level of vigor and excitement. Is it making you a little bit more hopeful about where the country could go in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, look, I'm a fiercely proud South African. I'm not going anywhere. I love this country. I believe our president with the GNU has done something absolutely outstanding. I mean, our Minister of Electricity has kept the lights on. You know, our charismatic Minister of Sport is trying his best, and I believe he even lost a bit of weight because he's now involved in sport. So those are the kind of things you want to see. We want to see the ministers on the ground. We want to see them doing good things. We don't want to see them driving blue lights and 17 different BMWs around the city. We want to see some action, and so far I'm seeing it. And, you know, keeping the lights on, I mean, Dr. Ramaphosa has kept the lights on for, don't quote me, but I think it's over 200 days now.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to him. I take my hat off to him. You know, we've had years of this bloody on-off, and he's done it. So that's what we want to hear. I want to see guys who can get things done.
Speaking of getting things done, it's been quite interesting to get some of the analysts and even your peers, some of the executives in the industry, in terms of how they're seeing this kind of optimism happening now versus the optimism of, say, 2018 during what we described as Ramaphosa. As an executive, I mean, what do you need to see in terms of hard macro data for you to actually believe that we can actually start seeing that increase in fixed capital investment? Because I suppose sentiment is one thing, but you need investors to actually start plowing in capital. So what do you need to see to actually say, okay, cool, we can start changing the way we do things, because not only are we optimistic, but we're seeing the numbers are starting to make sense macro-wise?
I think it's quite simple. I had the pleasure of having a conversation with our president, and, you know, it's very simple. education, which is a given, and I'm a builder, so, you know, it's not my field, but, you know, education is a must in this country. And infrastructure. You know, once the infrastructure gets organized and moving, everything follows. You know, shopping centers follow, developments follow, hopefully schools follow, people's lives get improved. And then the final thing, obviously, is, please, can we have a country of no corruption? Can we all just do an honest day's work? And can the powers that be do their job and help? You know, the underprivileged in this country need all the help they can get. You know, and it's always them that suffer the most, always. You know, and you know, I'm desperate to see no corruption and some good housing for the people of this country.
Okay. I'm hoping that at some point you and I will be able to have a catch up, say perhaps in the next 6 months or so, so we can see in terms of the timeline you may have set, in terms of things you want to see, whether, you know, as a country or the ministers have reached that timeline. But let's talk about the consumer for a bit. I think a lot of the times when we talked about, and we still do, we talk about a strained consumer. And when we had that conversation, it was looking at things from the retail side, etc. How are you thinking about prices when it comes to, you know, the property side of things? What does the pricing sort of look like in the way that you look at the apartments and the different collections?
We are trying very hard. You know, we've got some cost engineering going almost on a daily basis at the moment, and we're trying to deliver a better, more affordable product for our clients. You know, instead of profiteering and putting the price up and up, we're trying our best to come in with an affordable apartment. Because, you know, I believe South Africans should own title. They should really put their money into property, because that's the true way of accumulating wealth. You know, is to own property, be proud of your property, look after it, maybe sell it one day, move into a bigger property, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm a great believer in that.
When it comes to that, are you seeing more younger people coming into the property space? What does the age group look like when you assess some of the data that's coming through on your side?
We have a very mixed demographic, but yes, we do. We have a fantastic program for young people where we have what's called our first-time homeowner. If you're a genuine first-time homeowner, we offer a 5% discount to our clients. And I've done that as a real moral obligation to try and help these youngsters onto the property ladder.
Okay, so in terms of outlook, what are you and the rest of the team going to be focusing on, you know, given the environment that we've been talking about for quite some time now?
We're focusing on quality, cost engineering, and hopefully we can get up to some decent numbers next year, but it will depend. And we're obviously very carefully watching the interest rates. Yes, the American election is coming up, but, you know, we're South African, we're African. I think we must do our own thing and do it as best we can.
Before I let you go, what's a risk for you in, like, peripheral vision or something that you have factored in your, call it, modeling or your outlook? What's the big risk?
The big risk is the municipalities. You know, we need to be treated with respect like we treat them. You know, we're not the bad guys. We want to help. We want to help build this country. You know, I'm staying here. We're doing a lot of helping in a very small way. We're still a small company. But, you know, we want the municipalities to be functional, do their job, and help us, you know, work together. It's supposed to be a complete team effort in this country.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Stephen. We'll catch up soon.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.